Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me and bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame, so they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic at all, but he just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through oh, the fire.
radio live. Well, you know, this is the beginning of Black Music Month, and we will all this month, along with other things, celebrating our culture, celebrating our music, and celebrating the culture in such a way that we really do understand what we're doing, what it's all about. What is culture? What is music? What have we given America? What have we given the world? But yet we don't benefit. We're going to be really going through the whole thing of music. Next week we'll be talking really heavy. We're going to touch on it today. But we're going to talk about the economics of music. We intend to probably have Croon. I'm going to try to get Croon from the Soul Stirrers, who was a real good friend with Sam Cooke. And I'm going to try to get Sam Cooke's brother and look at how they started Sours and their music. And I always believe that the reason they killed Sam Cooke was because he went and pulled his music together and pulling all these companies together and to begin to take this gospel. I also been looking in my file, and I got to find it. If I find it, I'm going to bring it to you. I did an interview with R.H. Harris, the father of quartet singing. I went over a long time ago and sat with him and talked to him about quartet singing and how he started and what he did. You know, Lou Rawls and all of them used to be involved with those are his children, R.H. Harris. And he got that whole, with Sam, put Sam Cooke and all of them together. So if I find that tape, that interview, that cassette, I got a whole huge box of cassettes. So you might know, I feel so bad because when I brought some things from the office, after the fire happened in that corner by the office, I kind of threw all my tapes and not marked in there, so I'm going to try to find it. So if I find R.H. Harris, I promise to bring it to you, and I'm going to try to bring L.C. Next week. We're going to do the Sam Cooke piece. We got to look at all music as part of our spiritual growth, but also music as an economic engine. And what do you have to give to society, to the world? We had our culture. We had our music. And that's, you know, everybody build off their base of operation. Chinese got rice, so they build off of rice. Mexico got tacos, they build off of their other stuff. And we had arts and culture, which our community should be flourishing based off of that. That's why when you ride down 47th Street or King Drive, you see those two statues on 47th and King that we put there as we marked our community, because you're supposed to mark your community. And the idea there was to begin to mark our community, to bring our culture, and we put together redevelopment that said this has got to be about our culture. And there's no reason we shouldn't have had our club, so we got some research going on to find out how many clubs we have and how much money is really spent in those clubs. And what do you take? You know, I used to take Bemidji. All of my children play music, but Bemidji seemed to have been the one that really wanted to just get off into it. And I said, come on, son. And I'll take him Leaves Unleaded in different clubs with me and let him just go jam with some of the artists. And you don't have any place, that many places. And if you know of places, you can begin to get ready to tell me this week, especially next week, what do you go if you want to hear jazz and blues? Or just soul, or just music? Do you go in your community, or do you have to go to the north side of downtown? And then our artists are so happy to perform in them places. They're taking our music and all of our stuff and kind of extended that plantation. You know, you work and you get your peanuts and you then go back, and most of it stay here with me. As you know, Harold Washington Culture Center is partners with Motown the Musical, and we've worked very closely with them, and they've been very good partners to us. One of the things, if you went to see Motown the Musical, we've taken our second group, we got a third one on the 18th, but if you went there and you noticed, because what happened was I used to get upset. I was very upset with Barry for selling Motown. But when you see the story and you see how he was forced out, and when you read his book, you see how he was forced out. He did not want to. Barry had built such a conglomerate, and somebody tricked him into moving to California. And how the money and stuff began to go, but how they stole all his artists. They literally stole his artists. They offered them more money. And I don't want to tell you some of the other things you see it at the, when they got down to Ross, I think that really hurt his heart. But you see, Smokey stayed to the end. He didn't want to go nowhere. I might try to get Smokey too. But they just kind of stole the artists and offered them more money. And how can you do anything? You don't have anything. He's treating you like this. He's treating you like that. He's a man, got you in a company, sitting around and you growing, you developing. Now, at the same time they take you, telling you he's doing this, they take you to a done plantation, helping you bring all what you got over there. And if you notice, most of the artists who left Motown never really had any more real big hits. Most of them. I didn't say all of them, but most of them. Because all they wanted to do was to stop them. And that happened. So I say that to say that I remember I went to New York to see Motown and some of the reviews that had gotten there from this reporter here. And I can't remember his name. I think of it in a minute. Jim Lee approached this reporter when she got here and said, I don't think that you did a good write-up on Motown. And they had dialogue. So this reporter did an article on Motown, the musical, for The Omen. And he thought it was a good play. But guess what the problem he had? His problem was that they concentrated more on the business, on what happened in his business than they did with the music. And I laughed. He was mad that they did a lot of the business. And music is a business. Culture, art is a business. Theater is a business. And we have to embrace all of it. And his thing was, why are you doing the business part? Just get up there and dance. I never understood why Michael left and all the rest of them. It was all about getting moved away with more money. And we sitting right here sidebar and trying to pretend we know what happened. We had a lot of record companies and different things, little things that we had that were just kind of slowly taken away from us. Just taken away. And then you take a man's shoes off and then ask them, why you walking around bare feet, why you got calluses on your feet, why you're frostbitten, why we got to cut off your toes, because you took my shoes and I'm walking in the snow. And that's kind of indicative of how it is across the board with our community. So, you know, we should celebrate black music year-round. But it just so happened that June is Black Music Month. And we're celebrating. And we're going to be talking about the art of our music. Where did it come from? If a white boy sings the blues, he's not seeing it from the perspective of how we came up with our music. We had to sing our pain and our feelings in the cotton fields or on the slave ships. And there are times, the only time we could communicate was through song. You know, sweet nine cherry, let me ride, you know, all that other stuff. Over my head, I hear stuff. We talked in songs, you know, so that people could know to get ready to move out and to go. So our music was part of our history, and it also is spiritual with us because it connects us back to Africa. Music is spirit with us. And the only true American music in this country is blues and jazz, and that's what black folks came up with. And then you had country music, which is, you know, I love country music, but cause I grew up in the South, so you have, you know, at dusk, we listen to music from dawn to dusk. At dusk, our station went off, and we had to listen to all that, Send Me the Pillow When You Dream On, and all of that stuff, unless we got JR in Nashville, Tennessee, so we listened to that. But so when you listen to what our music was, our jazz, our feeling, our soul, that's why on 47th Street, across from Harold Washington Culture Center, that vacant lot you see over there is $1.5 million of infrastructure up under that ground. We was putting a park there, and we had a beautiful statue of Walter Dyett facing Harold Washington. We was going to honor the music on that corner. And Ed DeWitt, the same sculpture who did Harold, did Walter Dyett, and it was laid out. And we had some marble slabs we were going to put all of our other different artists that came out of there, and we were going to have music and a fountain flowing where they put the infrastructure in. And all of the statues was done, ready to go. But after I lost my election, they took a lot of the stuff and put it in the they put it in a warehouse, and the rest of it they put over there in the breezeway by DuSable. Well, you really can't see it. It's right between DuSable and the track field. And my thing was to lift up Captain Diet and to have water and to have a park there where people can just sit and hear music and the water flowing. If you look for, drive on 47 in King Drive, you'll see that infrastructure there. That's $1.5 million up under that ground. But no, we're not going to do this. Boom, close that down. Just take the stuff and put it in the in storage, the city storage, and take the rest of them and put it by DuSable. Now, well, I don't know what is good, all right, but it ain't the same as being on 47th Street where we was honoring Walter Dyer, who's responsible. And we will be trying to find some of his people to come on. And I know my children's father, Jimmy Tillman, whom I probably get to come on this month, he studied under Walter Dyer. And Walter Dyer was a father to many of the youth. And as Walter Dyer had been one of his music mentors, Jimmy mentored a lot of youth like Carl Cogan, a lot of them who are now doing music and playing music. So when you get into the history of our music is our story in our life, and we are the only group of people that have allowed someone to take control of our music. Nobody else. Everybody's doing their music and doing their thing but us, and then we sit and listen to everybody sing our music. I'm going to find Justin Bieber when he talked that stuff the other day and called black folks niggas and talking about the Ku Klux Klan folks. Oh, that ain't nothing. Yes, it is. That's how they look. There's a new way folks looking at us. And even they just, and if you look at the awards that they give out now, we're not even in the top 10. How you have black folks as much music and singing we got that we don't even be in the top 10? We don't even get nothing anymore. And we accept it. And that's just a little taste of what is going on in our lives as black people. You can take the music and put it in other things too, whether it be education. You know, in schools, we had all kind of music in those schools. It was understood you had music and art and sports. You had that. But so you get your educational system knocked down. That's something. Once that's knocked down, your educational system, you don't have anything anymore. We're going to be exploring on this show as time go on about how many blacks we have coming out of medical schools and what's happened to Meharry and what happened to the school in Tougaloo and all those other things. It's a lot of stuff, y'all. But anyway, we're going to be exploring culture and black music this month along with other stuff. Our guest today is Professor James Small, and we're going to be talking about the importance of culture and music and all of that, our culture. I'm also going to hopefully this month have Wade Noble on to talk about Dr. Wade Noble, one of the greatest black psychologists in the world. Most of you probably met, some of you saw him at the reparation conventions we used to have. But we're going to have him, but we also got a lot of other folks lined up to really talk about this business called music. We're also going to have the kids up from the Tonys when they come back. Jimelita's in New York, and I know they're listening now on iHeart. She took the kids to the children to the Tonys so they can experience the Tonys and the red carpet. And the children from the Harold Washington Culture Center off the street and on the stage program. So kudos to them. So we're going to get into it, y'all. I hope y'all wake up. Like I said, this is an educational process for you, and class is not in session, and I hope you don't be late. If you be too late, we might get in the dunking corner, but we're getting ready to have class here. You listen to Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. My name is Dorothy Wright Tillman. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.won.com. We are on iHeartRadio, so you can listen to us on iHeart wherever you go. That's what I do if I'm not. And it's Blog Talk Radio. Type in Coffee Tea or Dorothy Tillman. You'll get me. We are on Facebook, Group Facebook, and Twitter. Get your coffee. Come on, y'all. Wake up. Call your friends. Tell them it's going to be hot to hot to hot. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey, it's Maddie Maticus, and I want you to know that Toyota on Western is your new and used car superstore. I've driven a Toyota for over 7 years, and it's the most reliable car I've ever had. Toyota has a long and solid reputation. Add to that the amazing customer service at Toyota on Western, and you'd be crazy to go anywhere else. Toyota on Western has new and used quality cars you can rely on. Of course, you can't go wrong with a new Toyota, and every used car at Toyota on Western comes with a certified inspection, so you know you're buying quality. Listen to my show every day at 8:29 a.m. for the Toyota on Western Car of the Week. Toyota on Western at 69th and Western. Give them a call today at 773-884-7200. That's 773-884-7200 or online at toyotaonwestern.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Terry Mason. For the past 22 years, I've been the official chief medical officer for WBON, bringing you our weekly medical forum, The Doctor in the House. I'm still here, and I want you to join me every Sunday from 10 to 11, an exclusive medical feature on the Talk of Chicago, WBON, AM 1690.
You got something on your mind? Speak out. You got something on your heart? Speak loud. You have something you want to say, Chicago? Speak up. This is Chayron Fest Smith, and remember, I am not a victim, and neither are you.
Speak up with Chayron Fest Smith, Monday evening at 6 p.m. on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Speak up!
Not all bank accounts talk, but a Fifth Third checking account with instant alerts will tell you if there's suspicious activity, a withdrawal, and even chat you up if there's a deposit. Because we were curious, shouldn't your checking account put you in the know faster and help stop account fraud faster? Open a Fifth Third checking account with instant alerts at 53.com/alerts and get transaction notifications right to your phone. Fifth Third Bank, the curious bank. Member FDIC, $50 minimum deposit to open a checking account. Mobile data and text message charges may apply. Contact provider for details subject to internet banking terms and conditions.
Hey everybody, this is Matt McGill. Motown the Musical has hit Chicago's Oriental Theater, and Tuesday, June 17th, will be the biggest night of the Chicago tour because it's WVON night. Yes, Motown and WVON will reunite to celebrate the station where Berry Gordy sent his music first. WVON in Chicago, Motown the Musical is getting rave reviews and is a big hit in the Windy City. That's why I am proud to host this special performance on Tuesday, June 17th, and we want you to be there with us. Get your tickets now because the show will sell out. Visit Ticketmaster.com, the Oriental box office, or log on to WVON.com for more information.
I'm going to Chicago, that's the last place my baby stays.
Attention, childcare entrepreneurs. Are you looking to launch your growing business? The 16th Annual Early Childhood Educational Entrepreneurship Expo, presented by the Women's Business Development Center, will be held Saturday, June 14th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the UIC Forum, presented in English and Spanish. The expo is a full day of education, inspiration, and navigating the ins and outs of business ownership. The expo features Designation Success, breakfast and panel, roadmap to growth and business workshops for every level of business, early childhood education applause awards luncheon, and an exposition hall with more than 60 booths. For more information or to register online, call 312-853-3477, extension 290, or visit www.bdc.org.
WVON is proud to help.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. Say it loud. for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it now.
Wake up, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud. Y'all, wake up. Wake up. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me class is not in session, y'all. And anybody come in after this, they're late. But we're getting started. So go tell us, everybody else to wake up. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. You can get it on your smartphone or your tablet. Just download it. We're also on Twitter. If you missed some of the show, you can go back to Blog Talk. Just type in Dorothy Tillman or Coffee Tea, and you will get me. Those who missed the, our conversation last week with Ms. Olivia Hooker from Tulsa can get it. So you can go there and get it. So I'm going to go to the phone because I'm going to have Small, James Small, on in a few minutes, about 6:40. Five to get ready to go into our 7 o'clock hour as we talk about culture. So let me go in, and Evan, I don't know who on three. Let me see. Good morning, Brother Plump.
Well, yeah, shalom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to congratulate you on Black Music Month, June, and everyone. I'd like to wish them, a happy Black History Month. You know, that's very, very the most important part of our music that we did from back in the day. And you was just playing James Brown.
Uh-huh.
We used to be backstage with James Brown all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And our people do need to keep the roots of I'm Black and I'm Proud, which is really roots equals to 23. When you think of Chicago, Chicago is 23, which also means a superstar city in reality. And it is a dilemma, as you say, when Barry left Detroit, and this is the way we are doing here in Chicago. And
No. What I said was that, Brother Plump, is that until I read and understood the story, I was really a little upset about him getting by Motown leaving. But once I saw how the white power structure squares him and took all his artists, then I understood what happened. And they didn't just do that in music. They've done it across the board. But we have great artists. And, I mean, it was a natural for folks to sing, to play piano, to play drums, to play instrument, or just a cappella, just do all kind of things. It is not natural for us to all of our singing to be about death and destruction and to be into. That's not us. That's some other kind of people that comes about. That's some other kind of
right.
People.
That is other than ourselves, and I just wanted to let you know that we are going to be doing our structure or infrastructure in an irrevocable way, where we're not going to change our culture for anyone or anything or anybody. We're going to keep to the way that Motown originally done it, but we're going to do Chicago, Motown in Chicago, Hollywood in Chicago, and we're going to keep our people here. And we are doing that right at Swift Mansion, Inner City Youth and Adults Foundation, every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30, as well as the Humanitarian. We're going to have Princess with us this coming Sunday. Which is the young lady from Olive Harvey, and also she's from Nigeria, which was the 234 girls that was kidnapped. You see,
now,
music
I want to say on Black Music, I got to say where I'm at. You don't want to cross the board now. Okay,
right.
I have to go. I got to say with Black Music. Who you going to have with you this week?
We're going to have Princess, you know, the children from the 200.
Okay, what time I got to go? Okay, what time, Plum?
2:30 to 4:30.
Okay, that's tomorrow.
And that's going to be at 4500, right?
45th and Michigan. Okay, thank you, Plum. Thank you. How you doing, Reverend Walton?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Dorothy. I just wanted to tell you, I thank you for what you told us this morning about what they did to you. I knew Lou Rawls out in California. He and I and the Evans used to hang out together when I was living out there. And all I can say, daughter, you have suffered much. Our music has suffered much. When are we going to stop letting them buy us out? Why don't we just got some money, Michael? Jordan and all of them and everybody just got some money.
Well, you
come
know, Reverend Walton, one of the things is what I was saying is that if you look at those four statues on the corner of King Drive, we put that there to represent our music. If you look up and down 47th Street and then King Drive to 45th, you'll see some. But I was telling about this right on that corner, Reverend Walton, right across from the theater. It's a $1.5 million infrastructure up under there. And then to just let weeds grow on top of it.
They put it up under that because they didn't want it to be. You go over there on 26 in California and just go west on 26th Street and you run into this red big arc over there letting you know you are in Latin town. You are with the Latinos.
And we started this.
Why don't we put it back up?
Well, it was deemed that we were working on it. If it got snatched and the some of the artwork is in somewhere sitting in their warehouse, and the rest of it. If you go over to the Saba and the Breezeway, they did put Walter Dice State
over there. Hear them away.
But I commissioned that under my leadership with Ed Dwight to do them. And we had we were putting all of the artists that he influenced. When you sit in there listening to that music, the water flowing and the music going, that was supposed to be part of it. But after I was out of office, they came and they snatched up all the other stuff and they took the other stuff and had a ceremony over there, putting Walter Dice between. And I kind of laughed because that's not where he should be. He should be on 47th and King Drive.
Right. It's terrible, daughter, what they did to you. You know, we black men with money should stand up and say, you ain't going to buy out Motown no more or whatever other Motown. Mm-hmm. We're going to take our money, the little money we got, and put it on with our people. Because I'm going to tell you, daughter, when the deal go down, you're going to go when the wagon come. They're not going to look over you because you think you're their friend. Use your money to help your people.
Well, I want to thank you for coming to On the Street and Off the Stage, our 10th year anniversary, because people didn't even realize that we've been there for 10 years training those children. Right now, Jimelita's in New York. She took the children to the Tonys. They are right now. They went to some shows last night, and they're going to be moving around today. And tomorrow they will be the guests of the Tonys, our children. Where else? They never will get that nowhere else.
Right, and I know you got in a hurry, Dorothy, but let me say one thing. The reason why I'm not going to Motown in Chicago is that I took my wife to Motown in New York, even when it was in New York. And I paid I had money for tickets to go to see it in New York. But I did, and it was great. And I'll tell anybody, go to see it in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Watson, I saw it in New York, too. But this got another flavor because you got some Chicago people.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but you tweak stuff. You know, you tweak as you go along. And it's good to go see it here, too, and see what the difference is.
Right. It's a great piece, and it's terrible what it did to Barry Gordy.
It is.
Did it to me, and they did it to a lot of people. Certain people they don't talk about.
What they did to Barry?
I don't know, but I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna keep talking. They don't have to talk about me if they don't want to. But I look for people like you to mention Reverend Walton. I've been on this battlefield a long time, Dorothy.
Reverend Walton, what they did to Barry Gordy and our music is equivalent to what they do to these brothers like you and put you in jail and stuff. You haven't done anything and try to take away your dignity. Thank you, Reverend Walton. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, daughter. God bless you.
God bless you too. And I'm gonna get Professor Small on the air in a minute. Rick, how you doing?
Hello, Dorothy. You know, I had to tune in this morning because I am an up-and-coming artist that's working in the music field.
Uh-huh.
You know, my stage name, I call myself Rhythm. That's my stage name.
Rhythm.
Yes.
I got Rhythm.
And I'm also totally blind, you know.
Okay.
And we are bringing back, my producer now, we are working on bringing back music back to Chicago. He works with something called AMB Production. And we had major labels that like our music and everything. We're trying to get them to come here and change this culture with the games and with our music in Chicago and bring the real hip-hop, R&B, you know, spoken word, comedian acts, and maybe even music acts. We're trying to take our state major from this city.
Well, you know what, Rick? The Bible say when the perfect come, the imperfect shall pass away. So non-perfection's perfection cannot occupy the same space. So we focus more on the imperfection than we do the perfection. So that means most of the space we're sitting in is imperfection. When these other people who have just as much killing, they're doing just as much as going on in our community. And I'm not condoning that. But these folks move on and say, well, you know, he was sick. This boy just got through killing up a bunch of folks, and we're going to move on. These girls stabbed, we're going to move on. But that doesn't stop them from building and being positive and building their community. What we do, when there's something happening in our community, which is a minority, so we take that minority stuff that's going on, not that we shouldn't deal with it, but we heighten that, and that's what we keep in our community. So we keep the imperfect. We keep the imperfection in our face rather than the perfection. As the Bible said, when the perfect come, the imperfect shall fade away. So we got to get rid of, we got to lift up the perfection more. Thanks, Rick.
Right.
Thank you. Manson, how you doing?
Hey, Hotep, sister, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Hey, I just had a few quick things. First of all, I applaud you and y'all in terms of your good work and intentions with our music and organizing that, you know, in terms of the business aspects of it. You know, our musical and athletic creative production are actually black people's goals. And, you know, back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, Muhammad Ali tried to organize that goal and get those folks with the money, the entertainers and the athletes to really unite and come together. Now, you mentioned, Dorothy, that they siphoned off Berry Gordy's artists, where they murdered Sam Cooke.
Of course they did. If you heard me earlier, I told you that I'm going to have Sam Cooke's brother and some other folks on.
Yeah, that's what made me think about Sam.
Oh, yeah, they murdered him and had people thinking that somebody shot him. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the whole day, one of his best friends.
The moves to deny ownership of our music go back to Sam Cooke and even before Sam Cooke, the jazz artists. You know, they just did them terrible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I urge folks to get the book on Sam Cooke by his great nephew, Eric Green. It's called Our Uncle Sam, and it will really blow your mind in terms of what they did. And then lastly, Dorothy, I want to say that our people need to understand that culture entails all people activity. It means, you know, our creative production, our art, literature, and music and all of that, but also our politics, economics, psychology, and all that. That's culture.
Right.
So
you know, we don't respect and understand our culture.
Right.
You know, we act like savages and people do anything. And that's
exactly
what I was telling them earlier. We keep talking about, we keep lifting up the imperfection rather than the perfection. We got so many perfections we should be lifting up.
Just got to get aware and organize and revive that work you were doing because, you know, I was substituting the schools and I would be over at the DeSable building and I saw the statue. I said, wow. But I didn't know that was supposed to be on 47th Street.
Oh, no, you know, I commissioned Ed DeWhite did those statues right on that corner. If you go to 47th Street, you'll see some infrastructure sticking out.
Right.
That's for the water. We had put together a whole infrastructure. We wanted water flowing, and we was going to have music coming while you just sit there and relax. And Walter Dye, Ed DeWhite designed that. I have all the original designs and all. Walter Dye was going to be facing Harold, and you just sit and enjoy the music.
Well, sister, I appreciate your efforts with that and what you was doing, and we got to just revive it. Just like, you know, Cam, Howard, and the rest of us, we just met for our second teach-in on the reparations. We're going to be trying to move to strengthen your, you know, reparations disclosure ordinance.
Yeah.
So we on the move. We know we got to, you know, get busy, you know, and do those positive things and build on the positive. So, you know, happy African in America Music Month,
yeah.
Or Black Music
and,
Month.
You know what? Our new thing got to be, we're not talking so much about the imperfection, but the perfection. We will deal with those imperfections, but we're not going to lift up the imperfection. I listen to all of the other stations when they get through having all these tragedies in their community. They
yeah.
move on like it didn't happen, and they make their folks be sick and all that stuff, and they keep building. But we don't. We just get traumatized. We say, oh, we can't do that because they're killing each other. They're doing this, yeah. You know, they're all over the world killing each other and all over this country, and it should not happen, but we should not be defined by that. Thank
right
you.
On.
Thank you, man. So I'm going to have
okay.
I'm gonna have James Small on today.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay,
all
right on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm gonna have Small on today, and we're going to be talking about the culture. Evan, I want you to get Small on, too. Get him something. BJ, and let me know when you get that piece together. BJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dorothy. Bless your heart. You know, people, Dorothy, I thank God for you, Dorothy. I told you before, I didn't know for so many years I was suffering from post-traumatic slavery syndrome. And when I became an electrician when I got out of high school, trying to accomplish things and do things, because Mr. Fuller was a multimillionaire. And it took me so many years, Dorothy, it took me 40-some years to find out how he did it, okay? My father was a WW2 vet. I was 3 years old when he came back from fighting over there in the World War II. And he was planning to work for 30 or 40 years and get a gold watch.
Uh-huh.
But I found out finally through the book club how Mr. Fuller did it. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And one thing that we got to do, this white supremacist has dumped so much bad stuff on us and evil stuff on us, and even me personally, okay? But we got to forgive him in order to get our prayers answered. I'm so grateful, I got to tell you, that at the book club, I met Reverend Walden personally, even before he won his suit. And I also met Brother Maceo, who was just such a wonderful person regarding history. Dorothy, I'm going to study history. And right now, I'm going to get off with this. I'm one more money dead than alive. I'm going to go ahead and get a trust set up so that if I live, Dorothy, I'm going to work, make some money, and help you out with the cultural center and different stuff. And if I die, you're going to get some money regardless.
We all going to die, but, you know, let's hope you be around for a little while. That's one of the way God created. As soon as we're born, we got to die. We just don't know the time and the hour.
Dorothy, talking about music, you know how I'm beginning to get over this negative depression and different stuff that's been holding me back? By listening to a lot of great gospel music,
right.
And especially Sam Cooke by Pam Morris every single week. Bless your heart, Dorothy. I love you in Jesus' name.
And thank you. I hope if Ebony find that piece for me, I'm going to try to play it for you in a minute. You have it now? Okay, we're going to play this about what happened to our music. I'm trying to see which one she got. I had two I requested her to pull up for me because we got two pieces. How they said they took our music and they changed our music and they said go after them. So, uh-huh.
Black artists have been
this is Michael Jackson.
Completely. And it's time now that we have to put a stop to this incredible, incredible injustice. And like Mrs. Sharpton was saying, people from James Brown to Sammy Davis Jr., some of the real pioneers that inspired me to be the entertainer that I am. These artists are always on tour because if they stop touring, they would totally go broken. And it's been, the record companies really, really do conspire against their artists. They steal, they cheat, they do whatever they can, especially the black artists.
I tell you, that was Michael.
Sony Tommy Mottola. Tommy Mottola is the president of the record division. He is a mean, he's a racist, and he's very, very, very devilish.
Now, Micah spoke out, and they went after him. It was interesting how somebody take your stuff and make you think that you don't have nothing. You all ought to get something. You don't have nothing, and you don't take my stuff. We're the only group in this country who have always, always been attacked when we spoke out. So those who get be scared they're going to lose if they speak. every other group is lifted up for fighting, for standing up, for moving forward. They call them liberators. They call us troublemakers. And here we are, just the same way as when Forced into Glory, you know, Lerone Bennett wrote Forced into Glory, during that time when they turn us loose, and where you go, they bring you back in your sharecrop. Everything in this country that blacks have put their hands on, this country have made us get into a sharecropping relationship. Even those who have money, whether it's Oprah, whether it's Magic, whoever it is, they're into a sharecropping relationship. That's why I didn't get mad when Sterling said, I don't want him playing no golf with me. When he go do something for the community? And everybody starts screaming, oh, what all he do? He mentor, he do this. No, 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 no. There's some other things you can do. You come back and help rebuild your community. Our black folks should not treat the community with a social worker attitude. I'm a part of it. I'm going to build this community. What do you need for a community? What do you need for a community to thrive in? And you build from that way up. Not, well, I'm going to come in and I'll talk to you for a minute and tell you what you ought not to be doing. And I came from the same place you can go. Yeah, most folks my age who are talking to children about them coming from the same place is a lie. Because the place they came from was a place where the black community made sure that we came together and we pushed people ahead. And we tried to build our community, and we tried to do certain things. So these children are not in the same space and place that some of these folks that they came from, because you came from a loving community that loved you, that really loved you. And that's what they did. So I just want y'all to understand what our roles are as people and who we are. We've been having, in this country, every role. If you get money, you become a sharecropper. You ain't free. You're not free. The moment Oprah got off ABC, her stock went down and some other stuff happened and they started moving somewhere else. There's a sharecropping relationship between black people in this country and other folks. And then you got a whole group of people now who have come to this country, and you see them. And they're living in your community, taking over your buildings, and you think they're just European. You think all of the immigration thing is just about, quote-unquote, so-called Hispanic, which I say Hispanic is a culture, not a race. But the immigration part is all of Europe and all of these places. And you have to remember the relationship that the European have with America. America is their child. So that's a whole other thing in terms of slavery and how people are treating us and sharecropping. So, I mean, I got just a few minutes here. How many minutes I got there? Boy, I'm going to try and pull it. Okay, James is gone. I'll get him on the other end. Okay, before I go, I want to play I want to play Chancellor Williams, what he said about the meeting. How long is that anyway? Because I might have to do it. I want to play Chancellor Williams, what he said happened with this music. So y'all listen to Chancellor Williams.
Almost dead in his tracks. And not by any accident, was a widespread and deliberately organized widespread use of drugs. The fact that a decision was made, and I think most of you familiar with the broadcast of the mafia defector who went on public media to declare what happened and outline in great detail the great plan of how to destroy the black youth of the nation, starting in New York. He said in a meeting 20 miles outside of New York City, the great decision was made. He said he didn't have to guess about it, and those who heard him know that I'm quote him almost verbatim, because he was there. And the decision was to concentrate the distribution of drugs on the black youth of the nation, starting in New York. Starting in New York, beginning in the elementary school, and that to punish, even on the pain of death, any of the distributors who invaded the white community or predominantly white schools. That New York and other large cities were to be divided up into districts. The district commander, black, was to be given any kind of car he wanted, Mercedes, Rolls Royce, anything, because this would be a part of the sales pitch. That blacks just love fine cars, and he'd drive around through the community in his fine car, and some of his key assistants, and he'd be identified, he'd be known, and that sort of stuff. And so the story's, I'm not going any farther into it. But thus it began, and the spread over the country, and we fell for it. Now, one thing was important, that the thing to attract the blacks, more than any other thing, more than the drug itself. But to spread the word, have a number of key young people in it, and to spread the word that this is the end thing. So that'll get them. Just say it's the end thing, and they'll brave the fires of hell to be a part of the end thing.
So that's our story of the decade of struggle.
We're going to come back to play some more. We got Paul Robeson in there. That's a tape that's something that Paul Robeson's daughter put together, a granddaughter put together on what he was speaking about, what happened to the Black Power movement, how we was invaded. Chancellor Williams wrote The Destruction of Black Civilization, a good book to read. I'm going to reread mine. How many minutes I got? Have I got me an engineer over there? Okay, you listen to Talk of Chicago 69 and Dorothy Wright Tillman here every Saturday from 6 to 8. Our number is 773-591-69. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're also on Blog Talk. We're on everything that you want to be on. So what I want you to do is call everybody, wake them up, and tell them that we're going to have Professor James Small at the 7 o'clock hours. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON.
In a dormitory, parts of this section of Iraq, Ramadi, the capital of the Anbar province, have been held by Islamic extremists and other anti-government militants for months now. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
Actor Tracy Morgan is hospitalized in New Jersey after being involved in a six-car accident on the New Jersey Turnpike. WNBC reporter Sheldon Dutez is at the hospital in New Brunswick with the latest.
Doctors in the ICU are treating Tracy Morgan and several other victims. Morgan had just finished a show in Delaware late last night. He was riding in a limousine that flipped over about 1 o'clock this morning near Middlesex County.
This is NBC News Radio. Today is the big day. The first Triple Crown winner since 1978 could be crowned at Belmont Park in New York. And that's where we find NBC's Kristen Dahlgren this morning.
We saw California Chrome out on the track earlier this morning. And if he does become a Triple Crown winner, what a Cinderella story this will be. This horse was bought for just over $10,000. Keep in mind that racehorses at this level usually cost into the hundreds of thousands.
And who's more naked? That's the battleground between Rihanna and her former TLC mates. Rihanna changed the background image of her Twitter account yesterday to a topless picture of T-Boz Watkins and Chili Thomas after they slammed her for buying into this sex sell strategy during a TV interview. T-Boz said on the show to Rihanna, "Every time I see you, you don't have to be naked," a reference to Rihanna's head-turning see-through number at the CFDA Awards this week. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
The garage floor, a foundation for the cardboard you lie on, under your car, wrench in hand, a place to rest a cold beverage and put Saturday to good use. So Advance Auto Parts lets you order your parts online at advanceautoparts.com and pick them up in-store in just 30 minutes. So you can get back to the garage doing what you love. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage.
Visit advanceautoparts.com to learn more.
You're wearing top-of-the-line boots to hike the scenic Rockies, but you're still wearing your indoor eyeglasses in the glare of the sun?
What's that, Mom?
What? Where?
Next time, experience Experior UV, superior polarized sunglasses, and experience the difference.
Look, Katie, an eagle.
They eliminate 100% of blinding reflective glare and offer ESPF 50+, the maximum UV protection available. Ask your eye care professional about Experior UV, superior polarized sunglasses, in your prescription. For the best vision under the sun.
For 48 years, Near North Health Service Corporation has provided Chicago with exceptional health care. Their tradition continues as they host the 22nd Annual Men's Health Week, beginning Monday, June 9th through Friday, June 13th at 8 health centers located on the south, north, and west sides of Chicago. The week-long health fair offers free services to men both young and old. Complimentary services include screenings for diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure, prostate cancer, and HIV/AIDS testing. In addition to free health screenings are free healthy cooking workshops and free haircuts. Join us Monday, June 9th at 10 a.m. as we kick off the week's festivities. Pastor Corey Brooks is the keynote speaker. Also on the program is Richard Steele, talk show host and producer at WBEZ. The kickoff is at ComEd Holman Health Center, 4259 South Berkeley, and is open to all men. Call Near North Health Service Corporation for a health center near you at 312-337-1073, extension 208, or log on to nearnorthhealth.org.
Greetings. This is Ava Muhammad. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. as I discuss the major issues impacting you. I regularly have experts, celebrities, and activists on as guests sharing their insight and perspective. Most importantly, I invite you to join the conversation each and every Sunday and share your opinion at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey, it's Matty Maticus, and I want you to know that Toyota on Western is your new and used car superstore. I've driven a Toyota for over 7 years, and it's the most reliable car I've ever had. Toyota has a long and solid reputation. Add to that the amazing customer service at Toyota on Western, and you'd be crazy to go anywhere else. Toyota on Western has new and used quality cars you can rely on. Of course, you can't go wrong with a new Toyota, and every used car at Toyota on Western comes with a certified inspection, so you know you're buying quality. Listen to my show every day at 8:29 a.m. for the Toyota on Western Car of the Week. Toyota on Western at 69th and Western. Give them a call today at 773-884-7200. That's 773-884-7200 or online at toyotaonwestern.com.
Looking for affordable quality furniture? Look to Furniture at 7707 in Chicago for all of your furniture needs. Furniture at 7707 South Ashland is a family-owned discount furniture mattress store. Furniture 7707 has served customers in the Chicagoland area and the surrounding suburbs. Their knowledge in furniture, mattresses, and appliances set them high above the competition. Furniture at 7707 is an authorized dealer of such brands as Ashley Furniture, Jackson Furniture, and Decor Rest, with over 450 different customizable fabrics and top grain leathers on over 90 different styles and much more. They are ready to work with your budget to get the merchandise you need with their available financing options and 90-day layaway program. For more information, call 773-783-7707. 773-783-7707.
It's the laughter you can see. The music that you feel. And those special moments that are kind of a big deal. They don't just move with you, they move you. It's the entertainment that you love, and now it's all in one place. Xfinity from Comcast presents CelebrateBlackTV.com. The best in black entertainment right at your fingertips.
For the first time ever,
You can find out what's happening on the scene, behind the scenes, and even watch your favorite scenes instantly, all at one spot. So whether you're relaxing at home or on the go, Xfinity puts the entertainment you're looking for right in your hands. Visit CelebrateBlackTV.com today. That's CelebrateBlackTV.com. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
If you own a smartphone, you're at risk of losing important data if your phone is lost or damaged. With iDrive, just 99 cents per year gets you 100 gigabytes of protection. That's over 50,000 photos or more than 10 hours of HD video. No matter what happens to your phone, your data is safe with iDrive. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your data with iDrive. Get iDrive today for 99 cents a year on the Apple App Store or in Google Play.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we celebrate June Black Music Month with an encore performance of Cooley High the Musical live Saturday, June 28th and Sunday, June 29th. For tickets, log on to BroadwayInBronzeville.com or call 773-373-1900. Enter code WVON for a special community discount. This is one show you don't want to miss. Cooley High live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, presented by Ed Ford Jewelers. See you at the theater.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. I don't mind. As Dr. King said, he allowed me to go to the mountaintop. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the mountaintop, locking our guests in. And what Dr. King meant was that if we made it, he expected, lock my guess in, he expected us to bring our community around. He really believed that. He really did. So, I tell you, it's 7 o'clock as I lock my guest in, and it's 7 o'clock, and I have an engineer today that's sitting in for Courtney. He's doing all right, though. As we get ready at 7 o'clock hour, this time, wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the state, in the city, and anywhere, it is that time. Okay, this is what we do over here, Mr. Meeks over there that's sitting in for Courtney, y'all. We do this every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Take a deep breath. Black, 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 black. Nah, don't play. Black, 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 black. One more time. No. Black, 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 black. Don't that feel good? Do that feel real good? Most folks are really frightened to say black. They say, if I say black, what's going to happen? And people walk up to me and say, Dorothy, thank you so much for saying that, because when I be around, I be scared to say black. I say minority. But you got to be something. It feels so good. It's like a relief. All I want to know, is that black enough for you? Black, 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 black. Hey! Black and black, black enough for you, y'all. Is that black enough for you? I tell you. I got somebody who can answer that, y'all. And he's going to be with me in 1 second. I tell you, if anybody can answer, is it black enough for you? He knows how black it is. Listen to Talk Chicago, 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on Blog Talk. If you missed the show, or you can even tune in to Blog Talk, type in Coffee Tea, and you can get it on Blog Talk. We're also on www.wvon.com. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and on Twitter. Today we are talking about black culture, black music, as we celebrate black music and black culture in this country, in the world, really, but in this country especially. Why is it important to know your music and to understand your culture, knowing that our music was more than just somebody just singing. We got these people right here singing our music, but it was really spiritual with us. It was our music that told our story from the boat all the way through to now. Our music, but someone have taken our music and taken a turn with it. And as I said early, we are sharecropping everything that we have. There's a sharecropping attitude here. So we're celebrating, and I thought to kick it off that I would have someone who really understood culture, whom I respect so much. You understand our education, our culture, the whole gamut. He understands it all. And I wanted to kick off Black Music Month and Black Culture Month with this young man whom I have so much respect for. And as I said, next week I'm going to have Sam Cooke's brother, hopefully, and also Leroy Kroon. We'll try to get him on so we can talk about the whole economic piece of music. It's a whole economic piece there. The business of music, the business of art, the business of culture, how everybody is making it and they share crap with us. We have Professor James Small, my brother from New York. He's in Cleveland today. And I'm so glad to have him. You know I've been trying to have him on for the last 2 months. He's been hopping across, back and forth, across the, all over the world, back and forth to Africa, and we're glad to have him home. But also I'm going to take a moment to say that our condolences to Brother Akbar, who lost his daughter, in Ghana, so we want to say our condolences to you, Brother Akbuck, and to the whole family. How you doing, Professor Small?
I'm doing very well, Sister Dorothy, and also me and my family would like to send our condolences to Brother Akbar Muhammad and his family, mm-hmm. and ask that God be with them through this crisis.
Yes.
And let them know that we love them.
Well, you wasn't in Ghana when your daughter had her accident. You weren't there, right?
Ma'am?
You was already home when the accident happened in Ghana?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, our condolences go out to him, not only him, but also to the nation of
because
I know it have taken the Minister Farrakhan to heart, his whole family. They're all involved. The whole nation over there is involved.
Yes.
Brother Akbar, I love Brother Akbar. This is the second daughter that he's had to pass on. And love you, Brother Akbar, and my condolences to the whole nation. So, James, let's talk about this whole culture piece. You know, they're talking about celebrating Black Music Month, and as we celebrate Black Music Month, a Black Culture Month, the importance of music, the spirituality of it, and how our music has really, I played Chancellor Williams just a few minutes before I went to break, how he talked about it was set up to destroy, how this mafia and white man decided to destroy our youth through drugs and change the music. He did a whole piece on the music piece and how they took the whole positive piece of music we have and what we were doing, and they made a decision to turn this around and put the drugs in our community, use music and all. Chancellor Williams was very, very profound. His own, he was speaking on what happened to the Black Power movement, and he started with the music and the culture. So I'm just going to let this this microphone be your classroom for a minute and let you go on, and when I want to jump in, I will. Professor Small, I turn you over to the classroom.
Yes, ma'am. And I think one of the first things we need to do is define for ourselves culture. Now, somebody said to me a long time ago that culture is a people's spiritual doctrine in practice. Now, culture is the people's spiritual doctrine in practice. You know, from being steeped in the civil rights movement, we didn't do anything when we didn't sing.
Right.
Every meeting, we sang. Every march, we sang. Anything we did, the songs, those spiritual songs, mm-hmm. like a tree standing by the river, we shall not be moved. You know, let our spirits know how we should behave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what music does. There's a brother, he's a friend of mine. His name is Nicky Nziwe. He teaches at a university in South Africa, a Nigerian brother. But he's written a couple of books on Black music. And he says this, and when I heard this from Nicky, I go like, that makes sense. He said, music makes human beings.
That's it.
Music makes human beings. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on and says, it supervises, explains, and illuminates human society.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the original music of African people speak to the nature of the inner relationship between the human being and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a deep stuff.
That's deep. That's real deep. Yeah. What you tell you about right now, about what's going on with our spiritual emptiness, the feeling that we're having, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, you were also talking about the finances piece that you get to, but everyone sells their culture. People sell their cultural food, the cultural clothes, the cultural furniture, the cultural music, the cultural drama, the cultural dance. That's what people sell to gain wealth. They sell their culture to themselves and to others. And the most significant part of that culture is the music, because of what the music does. And he says, Nicky says, the music also entails an understanding of the traditional process of nurturing a balance within the human personality, within the social society we're in, and it makes a culturally adjusted citizen.
Yeah.
So if you're not into music, if you don't sing sometimes, if you don't listen to music, you're imbalanced.
Well, what if you're listening to something that's destroying your spirit? That's what Chancellor Williams is talking about.
And use it to hurt us.
Uh-huh.
They understand that within music, music must convey the ethical and the moral principle of a society.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take that same music and put filth in it, it'll also convey the filth.
Uh-huh.
That's the power of music.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the music and put destructive actions in it, then it'll put destructive actions in your character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we our music, for most of our stay in the Americas, spoke to love.
Right.
Our music talked about how we loved our woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It
either spoke to love of our woman, love of God, love of what was right, or it described our situation, but it also told us how to get out of it.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so music, it really is a way of us speaking to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the brother said it was our spiritual doctrine in practice.
Yeah. That makes
and go ahead.
No, you go on.
Oh, and, you know, further stated by, I think it was Dr. Marimba Ani, he said, culture protects the people from genocide.
Hmm.
And whenever you get in a situation where your condition changes, then your culture must be modified and adjusted to meet those changes. And that's what happened to us. When we left Africa, we didn't lose our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We adjusted our culture to handle slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was the key part of that. There wasn't a cotton field or a rice field where you didn't hear a symphony.
Right.
As we worked. And that symphony was not only appealing to our ears, it was appealing to the divine within us and the divine without us to get us through that day.
Right, right.
You know?
And
that's
those drums, you know, James, when I went up into, way up into the mountains, into a spiritual place of Africa,
and
I heard some sounds. I heard this lady making this sound, and I said, that sounds like Madea. When she was calling us, we called it Holy Ghost. She was calling, I don't know what this African woman was, but that sound was the exact sound of my grandmother. And that's right. Yeah.
You can hear a hum. I'm in Africa all the time. And, you know, we have 47 people that work for us at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, well, there's one brother, when he's cleaning in the dining room in the morning, he hums.
Yeah.
And if I didn't know, it's to me, he's humming in Fonte.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me just like Mama humming in English.
Right,
He's putting that rhythm in his body,
mm-hmm.
and it's rejuvenating him, and it's allowing him to meet the task that's before him.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving him energy. It's connecting him with God. That's what our music is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take that music, which is kind of like your telephone or telegraph to God, and you switch the line and start telegraphing messages in from Satan, you cause a problem in the minds of young people.
Yeah.
That's why you see people killing and all of this stuff in the community with impunity.
Yeah.
Because someone is putting a message in them that's not allowing them to communicate with God, but they're using the music
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Yeah, our grandmother used to say, I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up when I want to. Call him up. I got Becca Rose singing that song, and she get to singing it. She said, I can call him up, and she get to singing and calling him up, boy. And I tell you, she had something in her bosom because he sure showed up.
Imagine all those young people marching in Mississippi in the early 60s, late 50s, and in front of them is the Klansmen wearing police uniform and sheriff uniform and got their dogs. They know they're going to get hurt. They know they're going to get beat. They know they're going to jail. They know they might die. And on the way to meet them, within a few yards, somebody starts singing, Oh, Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Freedom, over me.
Right.
Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
That's deep.
That's the only weapon they had in their hands. They had no guns, no sticks, and they decided they wasn't even going to fight back physically.
Mm-hmm.
But they fought back spirits through music, and they defeated. They broke the Klan. They broke the sheriff. They broke the government of segregation in the South. That's a powerful thing.
It is powerful. We used to say stuff like, I'm going to do what the spirits say do. That was one song we sang. And when the spirits said do, I'm going to do, oh, Lord. Gonna do what the spirit said do. I'm gonna go to jail if the spirit said go. I'll go to jail. I mean, it was really, you're absolutely correct. And people who want to criticize our movement really didn't understand the power of that movement in terms of spirituality and prayer and God and stuff, as this you just talked about. Other thing is, James, the economics of our music. I remember you telling me when I was building the culture center.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget this, James. We was here for one of our reparation conventions, and I was showing you our center we was building. And you said, Dorothy, you said, Alderman, I hate to tell you this, but you think you've been in a fight. But if you build that center, they're going to come get you. But I said, why? He said, you know, they don't allow us to be in charge of our culture. They want us to come to something that they have, and we be guests in their homes. I'm paraphrasing what you said. But they're going to have a fit if you build that center. Huh?
I wrote in my own definition of culture that culture is responsible for the rearing, the cultivating in a prepared manner, in a prepared medium, the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, culture is how you prepare your next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an enemy that don't want that generation to compete against them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first institution they're going to attack? It's culture.
Mm-hmm.
What is the main element of our culture as African Americans? It's our music.
Right, right.
Okay. That music is heard in Japan. It's in Sweden. It's in Spain. I just came back from England last
mm-hmm.
week,
mm-hmm.
and all I'm hearing is our music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody singing and playing and dancing with our music. Because there's a message in that music. There's a spiritual message that invigorates anybody that uses it.
But in the meantime, they took music out of all our classrooms, and we're not singing our music anymore. James, I remember we went to a club that night. We went to the club in Ghana. We went to the club. You remember we went out that night? And he said, we're going to go over here. And I dressed up, and I won't talk about how I dressed that night, but we put on my African stuff. And we had a good time. Got there. Walked in, and all I heard was Aretha Franklin, Al Green, and all of them. I'm looking at you. He said, that's all they played was our music. I'm looking. He said, come on, girl, I'm going to take you to the club. So we went to the club. I'm thinking we're going to go and hit his drums and ah-yah-yah and all that. We got up in there, and they were jamming off our music. They call it highlight music.
Our music speaks to a people's effort to free themselves using the highest elements of humanity rather than the lowest element of humanity. See, violence is the lowest element of humanity to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual intuition is the highest element that humanity can use to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we use our music as a way, as our spirituality in action to go up against the mightiest force in the world. And the deep part is we won.
Of course.
Nobody want to admit it. We won.
Right.
And that was the weapon we used.
Right. And that's why Hoover said.
And that's why everyone is afraid to let that weapon be in our hands and interpret it by us. And they've gotten involved in interpreting it and using money as the incentive to get our young people to give them access to interpretation of our music,
mm-hmm.
but using the voices and the body of our young.
Yeah.
And so we have to speak to this thing because our music was not meant. Our music is a vehicle to carry spiritual power. It was not a vehicle to carry filthy words.
Right.
It was not a vehicle that carried violent words. It was not a vehicle that was supposed to carry threats. But because it's a vehicle, you can put anything in the vehicle. And so we must be careful what we put in this vehicle because it is well designed to carry whatever load that's put on it.
And what they'll say to us, James, well, you old people don't understand. This is where we express ourselves. They don't even understand that. Hoover said during the Civil Rights Movement, when after the murder of Dr. King, it was written, he said, we must control their music,
yes.
their ministers, in their youth. And those are the elements that kept that movement going was the youth, the music,
yes.
and the ministry.
The youth was the majority of our movement.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize that.
Because you were young and I was too.
Yeah. We were like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Our leaders were our elders.
Mm-hmm.
But the army, the soldiers that made up the armies that followed Malcolm, that followed Dr. King, that was with Fannie Lou and others, were between the ages of 15 and 21.
That's right.
That was the majority.
That's right.
You know, and that's why they went after the youth, and what they used was the music and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't use our music in its purity. They took our music and added their filth and destruction to it and used money as an incentive to have our people carry it forward for them.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I also, in my definition of culture, say culture is the tool that gives a people their shared definition of reality. Culture is the tool that gives a people their shared definition of reality,
mm-hmm.
their sense of order, and maintain the group's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not using your culture, then you're using somebody else's.
That's
and
right.
If the other person's culture does not maintain your group integrity, then you're going to have disillusionment and violence and destruction
mm-hmm.
in the group.
Yeah,
and we can see our situation now.
Yeah, you know, in the Civil Rights Movement, when you had Aretha Franklin and the Staple Singers and Sam Cooke, and we had the Barry Gordy and Barry Gordy.
Mahalia
Jackson.
Jackson.
And Barry Gordy was.
Yeah. You know.
And Barry was so into that movement, they had to get rid of him. They took all of it. See, Barry, they people, like when they say, get on board, there's a freedom train coming. You know, are you going to get on board? There was all kind of message. We jammed by that music. I remember when we came to Chicago, we was jamming with the music, Temptation. But all of those things also came down to Selma. You know, and when Sam Cooke wrote, Working on the Chain Gang and A Change Will Come, we had stuff that, you know, it was just something different. When Mahalia Jackson was so involved in that civil rights movement. I remember we was on the west side, and those who are old out there might know, and we were going to have a rally on right off of Roosevelt. A riot broke out that day because of a fire hydrant. And Dr. King would always get upset because we'd snatch him away when something break out. We didn't want anything to happen to our leader. He always said, I'm not going. I'm tired of folks saying we right now. You out of here. And we were back there, and Mahalia was singing. We had a rally coming on. And the only person, when we were trying to put Dr. King in that car, to get him from over there, because we felt, even though the riot had broke out because of a fire hydrant, they were going to try to hurt him that night on the west side. We were over in the middle of the developments over there off of Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And Mahalia was the only one. Come on, Martin. Please, Martin. Mahalia started praying and singing. We got Dr. King in that car and got him away from there so we could continue as staff members to do what we had to do for the community. But she not only sang, she was there. And all our other folks, the Staple Singers, was there. I mean, they were there. I remember them singing as we were marching down the highways.
The music produced those people. The movement produced those people.
Right.
They didn't come from the sky.
Right.
They were a product of that resistance against tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that they produced was the music that was in response to the tyranny, while at the same time an uplifting element for us who were being terrorized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to really understand, Harry Belafonte could have been a multimillionaire.
Yes.
But he chose to bring that music and his body to that movement.
Harry Belafonte, Cynthia Poitier, Nipsey Russell. I remember when, you know, when we were getting ready, we was doing the South African movement. When Mandela was still in jail, we was getting ready to do a South African movement with Dr. King. And Diane Nash and a group of other folks within this within our movement, pulled together all of the South African students from wherever they was around the world and brought them to the McCormick Place to raise money to help do this liberation movement in South Africa. Belafonte,
mm-hmm.
Nipsey Russell, Harry Belafonte, Nipsey Russell, Sidney Poitier, Mary McKeever. They were in front of that movement and was not afraid to be in front of that movement. Now, it is that Belafonte and Sidney Poitier is from other parts of the Americas. They're not from the United States of America. But they, too, were slaves. But they understood. They was enslaved where they was. But they understood the relationship that they had with us in this country, and they joined that movement. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that it was through that effort on the organization that Kwame Ture met and married Miriam Makeba.
Who was,
Stokely Carmichael.
Stokely from Haiti. Stokely from Haiti, wasn't he?
No, Trinidad.
Trinidad. Yeah, that's how he met Mary McKeever, Pate. And I met Stokely and Selma, but we were all good friends, all of us. And that is how he met Mary McKeever and moved to Salisbury. Let me go to the phone for a little while and just take some of the calls, Jamie. And I'm going to take two calls real quick and you answer. I'm going to take them in twos, okay?
Okay.
Pam, thanks for waiting for so long.
Hello, Alderman Tillman, Professor Small.
Yes.
I appreciate your true celebration of black music and the culture. And I want to ask a question regarding the cultural integrity, Professor Small.
Yes, ma'am.
What happened when you sacrifice your cultural integrity in your music to make money. So many of our young artists seem to have done that. And I just give the example, you cannot pay me as an artist enough money to call women B's and H's or to degrade the community. And there was one time I think our artists wouldn't do that. But now they tell us, Professor Small, that positive rap music won't make money. However, Pharrell Williams' song Happy, singing about happy, is one of the top producing songs.
Okay, thank
so
you.
So it is somewhat, see how you see the contradiction in that?
Okay, now, Pam, I'm going to try to get your question. So I want to get his, thank you. He's writing it down. He's going to answer it. I'm going to take another question. He's going to answer both of them at one time.
Also, see, Dolores Tucker was right. She tried to warn us about this. She wasn't trying to harm our young artists. She tried to warn
she
us
did.
About this very thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. She really did. So y'all, don't take too long because I'm going to try to empty this board. Maceo, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
Good morning, Professor Small.
Good morning, sir.
Professor Small's Alderman Tillman, this past Tuesday was Memphis Minnie's birthday, one of the greatest blues pioneers born in Algiers, Louisiana, on June 3rd. 1897, and also it was Curtis Lee Mayfield's birthday, one of the greatest musicians, singers, composers ever, on June 3rd, 1942, born here in Chicago. My question to you is that these two giants, as well as all of our giants, they need to be recognized during the month of June and throughout the year. I'm asking, is it possible to bring them on, not only here in Chicago, have some type of little bio on them along with their record so they can introduce them to our children.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to put, we do the best we can, but we got a collaboration of a lot of people. We're going to do the essence of what our music, it might not be just all of the personalities, but the essence of it because it's so many, so dynamic. But go on, Professor, answer both of those questions.
Yeah, I mean, I understand clearly what Sister Tucker was trying to do, and what we didn't understand, and I didn't think Sister Tucker expressed it fully when she was speaking against and trying to get us to see the negativity that it was being brought into our music through our youth, was the forces that was behind that negativity.
Right.
The people who ran the distribution company, the people who ran the record companies, the same people who may well have been responsible for the death of Sam Cooke. Same people who didn't want James Brown to open his own record company. The same people who tried to ostracize, what's the young man out of Georgia, Otis Redding.
Oh, yeah. I wonder about his plane.
Right.
Because, who flies? It was a storm going on. So who takes a flight and fly into a storm? Now
Their business force. Remember, there was a study done. It's called the it was done at Harvard University, and the record, the big record companies, Columbia Music and others. It's called the Columbia Study. That's what it was. And in the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, where they asked these researchers at Harvard to find out how they could get control of black music,
mm-hmm.
because the music was too powerful.
I got to get that study.
The music was fueling our whole movement. And so the study said the way you control the music is to get control of the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You can let them have their record labels and record company, but if the distribution is blocked, they can't
mm-hmm.
make no money and they can't have any impact.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so the big record company took control of distribution.
Uh-huh.
And thus they were able to determine what music make it to the radio shows,
mm-hmm.
What music make it to the ballroom, what music make it into the theaters. And what music black community or any community got to hear was coming from black people.
Well, here in
Chicago. It's called the Columbia Study.
Well, here in Chicago.
It's done by Harvard University.
In Chicago.
And the intent was to find out how to control black music.
Well, in Chicago we had what you call one-stop records, and we had a distribution, G1, G2. He went on to put together the topographical centers, this brother who was distributing music. And he was something. And you heard about the topographical centers when they was
there. Yeah. Well, I used to get, yeah, we had one in Newark, New Jersey. That
well, the brother who helped put together,
Chicago.
Well, the brother who helped put that together and funded, he used to have distribution, One Stop Records, and he did a lot of stuff. And he was a great brother. They destroyed him. They really destroyed him because he was using his money for the good of our community. Now, can
right.
you? She was something else. Was one other question she asked? I didn't write it down. Well, she had two parts to her question.
Oh yeah, that was the brother was talking about.
No. Pam had two parts to her question.
Oh right, the first was talking about cultural integrity.
Yeah.
And the money that's used. Well, of course, when you've got young people that's negatively socialized. Well, we don't want to speak on, Malcolm X talked about it, but the segregation of northern schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the segregation in northern school may have been more damaging than the segregation in southern schools.
Oh, yes, it was.
Because in the southern schools, like you, like me, I went to an all-black school.
Yes.
God, I love it.
Me
I
too, as a black
country
teacher. Look at that. They wrote freedom on the board for us.
let me tell you. And so, in the North, you had our schools controlled completely and still is today, for the most part, by a white, anti-black, racist population.
Right.
And so they're producing a negatively socialized, angry young people.
Uh-huh.
And those who run the music industry is using the plight of those young people and their anger against themselves and their community and their negative socialization and lack of black culture to perpetuate a profane, it's really profanity, to perpetuate a profane music in our community.
Yeah, so...
And that's being done deliberately. Let me tell you about Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
Mother and father and I were
minutes.
Very close
okay.
and all of his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac called my daughter. He was dating my daughter off and on, but they were friends from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he called when my daughter the day before he died. And then he got on the phone with me. And here's what Tupac Shakur said to me on that day before his death.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Professor, I got to talk to you. I'm on my way to New York once I leave Las Vegas. And he said, but I got to tell you what me and Biggie is doing. He said, this fight they're putting in the newspaper. So that's not all truth. He said, Biggie and I are trying to take control of the distribution of rap music.
Uh-huh.
So I said, Tupac, do you understand how dangerous that is? He said, yes, we do. He said, but, and I said, y'all can't do that alone. He said, no, we got other brothers with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we getting ready to organize this thing. That boy was dead within 24 hours of us having that conversation.
Yeah.
And Biggie would follow not far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But what most people don't know, about 7 or 8 other young rappers was murdered within a month of Tupac in
uh-huh.
New Jersey and New York.
Mm-hmm. That's up.
But nobody's been arrested for those murders, and they were all hooked up in this thing of trying with Tupac and Biggie leading it and trying to get control of distribution of their music.
That's deep.
Nobody talked about that.
But
this is a conversation I had with a kid that I saw grow up from a baby. I got married in the same bedroom that his mama and daddy got married in.
Well, we're going to talk about that another time, too, because we got to build on that, James. Since I got 15 minutes, I'm going to try to empty the board that you do. But we really got to talk. I kind of keep your answer a little short. Can you answer Maceo very shortly?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got his question, Maceo question?
Yes, the one on blues and music. I agree 100%. You know, we got African History Month, which comes with that Black History Month, which really meant half African History Month in February. But maybe we need an African-American History Month in June or July when it's nice and warm. And during that period, we display our music and our great
good idea. We'll talk about like that.
Music.
Now, I'm going to take 3 calls this time, James. I only have like 14 minutes, so you got to help me out and kind of keep it short.
Okay.
And I want y'all to ask the question. Please don't give me a long statement because I only have 14 minutes, and I'm about to cut you off if it be too long, okay? Denise, T, Mama T, you've been waiting a long time. T?
Yep. Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. Doctor. Yes, sir. So high we can't get around, and so low we can't get under. That's what station I would listen to when I was growing up, WGCI. Back then in the WBMX, but I have one question. Do the lack of resonance of the African drum that you hear now, it's like a lack. You hear no bongos, kungos, marumbas. You don't hear those type of instruments no more in our music.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then thank you.
Okay, and also The harmonica. Let me get another one. We don't hear the harmonica neither. Let me get another one real quick. Hold on. Thank you. Ma'am, one question.
Hello.
One question.
Yes, my question is, why is, since this is Black History, Black Music Month, why is WVON celebrating Blue Eyed Soul?
Well, I'm celebrating black music, and I'm on VON.
I know. That's why I'm listening to you this
But,
morning.
I guess we'll do it all. I think you should call during the business hours and talk to the business folks up there. I can't answer that.
What could be the psychological impact on that then? Maybe I can put that question out first.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. You should call during business hours and ask them.
Okay.
Okay. Take one more question before you answer, Professor Small. Denise. Lawrence,
this is here. How you doing, Ms. Tillman?
I'm all right.
Good. I just want to comment that our music is in order to influence our children in a negative source toward negativity. We don't have the music that we had back in the days that influenced
us. Ask a question. I'll have about a few minutes.
Another.
I hear you, Lawrence. So what's your question to Professor Small?
Just to address that issue, what can we do to bring the love back to our music?
Okay, thank you, Professor. I'm going to take this one more question, and then you can answer them all. Mama D, I'm going to take you, but you got to ask a question. Mama D.
Good morning. June 12th is the 61st anniversary of Mega Evers' assassination. Bob Dylan wrote the ballad of Mega Evers to keep his legacy alive. My question, black music is the chariot that carries spirituality that makes us more than conquerors as a people. How can we spread that message? And thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much. Okay, you got it, Professor. Come on to the classroom. Take your
questions. The brother asked about the lack of the drum or the drum rhythm in our music. And he's right on point, but I don't think you quite know 20 hits. There's something called octaves in music. And if you listen to the music today,
spell that word,
on the DVDs.
Spell the word you said. It's what now?
Octave. O-C-T-A-V-E.
Okay.
Octave.
Okay.
And so... If you listen to the 33 record albums we used to listen to, the octave, all of the octaves, all of the sounds made by the different instrument and the human voices in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you not only hear the music, you feel the music.
Right.
But when you're listening to the records today, they've taken certain of the octaves out. So you hear the music, but you don't feel the music.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's a technical thing that they've done. They've learned how to do. They've learned how to take that part of our vibration out of the music.
Right. Right. And James.
You feel the vibration of the music in your body, in your cells. You hear it with your ears.
Put it on this electronic stuff, and nobody is, like all of my children play music. Music, it was a must. In my home, when you went to school in black schools, you had to take music. Now, answer the other questions real quick for me. I'm running out of time. Answer the other questions for me, James.
Oh, the second one is the Blue Eyed Soul thing. There's no such thing as Blue Eyed Soul. Okay. I don't know what that is. They can call it what they want, but that's not soul.
Okay.
Soul music comes from the very bowels of a people explaining their feelings to themselves.
Right.
You can't imitate that.
Right.
Anything that's an imitation of that is an imitation. It's not real.
Okay.
And then the brother was talking about bringing the love back. See, one of the things that we've gotten so dependent on is the music industry that's owned by the enemy of our community giving us the music we listen to. You know, when we were younger, we sang most of the time.
That's right, all the time.
You know, we sang not only in the church, we sang wherever we gathered.
Even our games, anything we're doing, we're jumping around. Hey, hey, May, old Mary Mac, all dressed in black. Hey.
Sitting around under the big tree, we were singing. Walking down the road, we were singing.
Yeah.
So we got to bring the music back out of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we start bringing the music back out of ourselves, that even in the church, we don't sing no more.
No, they do praises. They do the praises. You know, the praises go up and the praises come down.
Yeah. So we need to start singing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's how you bring the love back in it.
Do you have any more? Is there one more? If not, I'm going to try to take one more call.
There's a piece the sister said about Medgar Evers and Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan did some beautiful things, but Medgar, the death of Medgar Evers – does not vindicate Bob Dylan or nobody else, mm-hmm. because it was Medgar Evers' death was white culture's reaction to black people's aspiration for freedom.
That's right. That's right. You know? That's right. Well, let me take Mike. Mike, come on. Real quick, Mike, I took you, but I know I haven't asked you how many minutes I got over there. Mike? Mike?
Yes?
Yeah, hurry up.
Yes, I'm talking because black music is so important. My father was the longest African-American member of the chorus in the American Opera of Chicago. For 30-something years, he was in over 2,000 operas.
Okay.
The thing about it is, growing up as a musician myself, and I sell music online, and that's how I support myself.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, we have to have distribution. And if we're not...
Well, that's what he just talked about. Ask your questions. He talked about distribution. Here's the other thing.
Okay, here's my question.
Well, okay.
All right. My problem is, this is so important to us. You're not letting us talk. That's what I got to say. That's it.
You should call. Okay. Wake up and call earlier. He said, I'm not letting them talk. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Well, he should wake up early. He shouldn't call me at 4 minutes before the show is over. He should wake up. My show started at 6 o'clock. But go on, James. Jay, let me say this before you sum up.
No, I think he's just focusing in the wrong way because he's got something to say. And what happens, a lot of us who have things to say, we look to get on other people's medium instead of creating mediums of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what music allowed us to do. Music was our conversation with the world and all the things about us.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he needs to start singing again. Maybe he needs to go out on the street and set up his table and start having a conversation on music with the people walking by.
Right.
Don't say somebody is not giving you a place to speak. You speak wherever you are.
That's right. Let me say this, Professor, I'm going to let you close. I got to make this announcement. It's very important. A brother who passed, and I'm so, it just hurts my so hard. James Dean. James Dean, who a brother was out here we was out here in the school fight together. We worked with Harold Washington together. A great brother. He died. He passed away. And visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday at Leeks and Sons Funeral Home on Cottage. If you want more information, call Leeks. That's Monday, 6 to 9. And that's on 7/8 in Cottage. And his funeral is going to be at Salem Church on Indiana, 118th in Indiana, at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. So call Leeks and James and to his family. Our heart goes out to you, his family, because I knew your father well, and I'm going to try and get over there. I don't know whether I have time to take any more calls. How many minutes I got?
Let me make a comment.
Let me try to take this one call, then I'm going to let you close out, James. I'm just this one question. Evan, you want me to take this one question from this person? Okay. Evan didn't give them to me. I'm assuming I'm not going to. Okay. So, James, what I want you to do is I want you to close this out, and we're going to have you back. You know, you shouldn't take so long. And I'm going to have you back to close out Black Music Month. How is that?
I love it.
Okay. So go on and close us down right now because I got like 4 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Remember, I opened by saying culture is a people's spiritual doctrine in practice. And music is the way we express that spiritual doctrine in our culture. And so for our brother who you just announced his passing,
uh-huh.
I'd like to tell the family, just sing for him because you're celebrating his going up yonder to
going
see his Lord.
Yeah.
And we created a song around it. So sing that song for that brother.
Yeah.
And let the spirit out of you speak to the journey that he's on. He came from the divine. He's returning to the divine. All our music speaks to that.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for kicking off our Black Music Month. We will be having more. Next week I'm going to have Sam Cooke's brother and probably I don't know if I can. I'm going to try to reach out to LC. And also Leroy Krug, who was with the Soul Stirrers, a very good friend of Sam. And we're going to talk about Sam next week. And I'm going to try and find R.H. Harris, the father of quartet singing. I'm going to look for this interview I did with him and see can I play that. Jack, Professor, thank you so much. I'll give you a call later. I know you got
you
in New York. Thank you for taking you in Ohio speaking. So thank you for taking the time.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. So
all right, you're welcome, my dear.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Chicago.
Thank you, Evan Release, Professor Small. Thank you for listening today. We have had a good time. We have really kicked off Black Music Month as we see it and as we feel it. We will be celebrating Black Music Month throughout the month of February. Don't forget about Cooley High. We brought it back for 2 days, the 28th and 29th of this month, Black Music Month. Support it. Go online and put in the VON code. That'll help. but support Cooley High. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman. We got our children right now. I know they're listening. They're up there in New York. They went to the Tonys, off the street on the stage. Congratulations to you all. Have a safe trip back. Jim Lee took care of them. And once again, thank all of those of you who supported our 10th anniversary of the Harold Washington Culture Center. For those who did not get an opportunity to come out and support the Harold Washington Culture Center fundraiser gala and you still want to, you can go to Seaway National Bank and put some money in there for the Harold Washington Culture Center, or you can send it to the Harold Washington Culture Center. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman, Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. Class have been in session. Reparations now, class is not closed. Reparations now. Foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and for the Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource, so to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chains, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chains, yeah. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over now? Over now.
I am an existence, you African descendant. Wrong to your shores, fault your wall, tell your business. Beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus. And the bottom of your ships and at the back of your bus, you'll find us with the black face embedded in stuff. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us a just shoot it in billet. If we configured for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted. And meanwhile, and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree. We probably be millionaires, equal share across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death, with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut to the check with a whip, wounds and flesh.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.